back.
Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle.
From command or from party leader Creedy or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. It needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We called them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as the law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there. When Washington took
the... Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we going to put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back?
Get off of my back and into my game. Get out of my way.
I'm Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
All right, here we go. Welcome to The Shooting Bench, 29th of January, Thursday. Thursday is our primarily gun-related night, and we have, you see that thing on the front? You know what that's for?
Oh, is that a ramming?
Yeah, it's a battering ram to knock doors down. Amy just showed me a picture of an MRAP with a... Amy said we need one of those. It's got a big battering ram on the front of it and everything, and she's showing me pictures of this, these Gestapo guys, these jackbooted thugs with the vaccine enforcement deal. It's just, I told her the same thing's going on with guns right now. People are saying the same things, trying to get people to pass legislation that would imprison legal gun owners. So a lot of that kind of thing happening now. I keep saying it's snowballing, getting progressively worse.
Yeah.
You might want to leave that in here, unless you're going to use it tonight, so it don't get wet.
I'll put my coat over.
Okay. Yeah, it's still raining pretty good out there. So, hot shot. Good question. Does a 9mm carbine have enough muzzle blast to give away your position? Well, I'll pull it over this way a little bit. Let me give you a number of things to think about with that. First off, it depends on how far away you are, how dark it is, what kind of cover you've got, and what kind of flash suppressor you have on it. Any firearm will give away your position if depending on what you have on there for a flash suppressor. And also, you can see this in handguns a lot, and that is the fact that a lot of powders, propellants, are low-flash propellants. You can look at, there's some of the Hornady TAP ammunition that uses low-flash propellants, and you can shoot them. There's a significant difference when you see that out of the same gun, same barrel length, same. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of variables in whether or not it'll give away your position. And a lot of that's going to depend on if the person is, or the people that you're shooting at or that you don't want to see, depends on how far away they are and if they're really paying attention or not. The 9mm in a carbine is a little less than a handgun, generally. But depending on the kind of muzzle attachment you have on it, it may spread it out and make it wider. I can't really give you a definitive answer on that, but I'll give you some things to think about. But what it boils down to is any gun, unless you're shooting through a suppressor, you need to take it out and try it out. Find the kind of ammunition that is the lowest, has the lowest flash, and then just keep testing it. And you might have somebody watch, from the side, or video it or something like that. We videoed several of them and slowed that video down and checked to see exactly what it looked like. Now, since you brought that up, let me mention another thing that might have something to do with that. It's not about carbines. Well, kind of. It could be. And that is guns that are either magna-ported or the compensated guns. And if you take the... any of them, it doesn't matter whether it's a Glock or a 1911, whatever, it doesn't make any difference. If it's compensated where that gas shoots out the top, well, surprise, surprise, at night, the fire shoots out the top. Actually, it does in daytime, too. You just can't see it as well. But I've got quite a bit of video of that shooting through a compensated Glock 23, and the V-shaped fire pattern that comes out of that is absolutely amazing. I mean, it really lights up your life. So there's a lot of things about compensated guns that I don't like, and that's a major one right there, is the amount of fire that you see at night. Not only does it light you up well, but it burns a V into your eyes that you, is bad enough. You know, muzzle flash in front of you is bad enough anyway for your night vision, but that V shoots up there. It's taller, lasts longer than your, muzzle, and then your flash shooting right out the front, and it affects your night vision, so it's not any good. And I also have some still pictures of a 2-inch 38 special shot at night. Jason was shooting it, and we've got a perfect shot of that right as the gun was going off. It was very dark out there, and we were videoing. I was able to advance it frame by frame and get a good steel shot out of there. And it lights up. You can see the brass rivets in his pants. You can see a cooler sitting beside him. You can see guns leaning up against the truck behind him. You can see everything. I mean, that little 2-inch 38 shoots a fireball out of the side about the size of the hall closet. And, I think that's a very poor choice for the average concealed carry person, because in a 357 is even worse than that. But, I think it's a very poor choice because it lights you up so much and lights up, you know, everything around you, besides for the noise and everything else that happens. So there's, for whatever it's worth to you, there's a long drawn out answer to your very simple question. There's a few legislative things we're going to get in. We're going to talk about several things involving Arizona legislation after the bottom of the hour break. But right now, this is, yeah, it's kind of gun related, I guess. A bad robber had a gun. He was, you know, if you're going to rob something, you probably shouldn't rob a donut shop. You know, it's just bad business. The guy in Philadelphia tried that this last Monday, and wouldn't you know it, there's two cops sitting in a squad car right outside in the parking lot. What are the odds of that happening? Well, they right away noticed the guy was wearing a Halloween mask. He got inside, drew a gun, told the clerk to open the register. But by the time he got all that done, the cops were already appeared there to him with their guns out, and they captured him without a shot being fired. So, there you go. Never rob a Dunkin' Donuts, or never know what you might find there. And there's five good solid states right now that are what we call constitutional carry states. And you know that I am opposed to that term because it is not constitutional carry. There are still restrictions. It is still not what I would consider constitutional carry. They should just call it something like permitless carry or something like that. It is not constitutional. But the five states are, and I think we mentioned these yesterday, it's Arizona, Wyoming, Arkansas, Vermont, and Alaska. Missouri, I believe, is on the verge of passing this. I'm not sure what the status is of their new legislation there. Indiana is in the process of working on that. And South Dakota now is working on that. South Dakota has introduced legislation. Now, this is, more importantly, than the fact that this is quote-unquote constitutional carry legislation. What I see here is that pro-gun legislation is popping up all over the country right now. So many Republicans have replaced their generally anti-gun counterparts in quite a few states. And they're just wasting no time here, jumping all over this, trying to get anything from, reduced restrictions in some states, constitutional carry in other states, open carry in some states, like Texas. And just a lot of stuff going on all over the country. South Dakota, just yesterday, there's a bill that they say that recognizes South Dakota's freedom to legally carry a concealed firearm without the requirement of getting a permit, was introduced by a Republican, as you might guess. And HB 1116, if anybody lives up in that part of the country, that would be a good one for you to support. It has right now, let's see, it's got 28 co-sponsors for it. So I'm thinking that that has a pretty damn good chance of passing when it comes up to it there. There's been another one here. Now, this is a good one. This is a good, another good bill. Hold on a second. I've got to wait for this thing to I hope you guys are not having too much sound problems, but my computer is acting a little goofy tonight. So hang on just a minute. Here we go. Here's another bill that has to do with the transportation of firearms and ammunition by law-abiding gun owners. It's H.R. 131. This was introduced by a U.S. representative. This will be federal law. Morgan Griffin out of Virginia, again, Republican. The story says current federal law guarantees the right of law-abiding persons to transport firearms between locations where they have a legal right to possess and carry them regardless of state or local laws that would otherwise apply. The firearm must be cased and otherwise not readily accessible. Unfortunately, anti-gun local officials are using overly restrictive state licensing laws to harass and prosecute travelers who have made every effort to comply with the law. Okay, this, they call that a peaceable journey law. We've talked about it on the show before. It means that you can travel between legal point A and legal point B, even if you have to travel through illegal point C, and as long as your gun is inaccessible and unloaded and locked up, it doesn't matter what their laws are. There's already a law in place for that, peaceable journey law. But so this is going to be a little redundant maybe, but possibly worded differently so that it keeps, and I've always said in my classes, I've always said it doesn't matter what the peaceable journey law says. If you get caught with that gun in Chicago or New York, however much you're obeying the law, you're still going to wind up facing some troubles over it. So maybe this new H.R. 131 will alleviate that. It says H.R. 131 would ensure the law has the effect Congress intended when it passed more than 25 years ago. Specifically, the legislation would make clear that transportation of both firearms and ammunition is federally protected, as well as expand the protections afforded to travelers to include staying in temporary lodging overnight, stopping for food, fuel, vehicle maintenance, an emergency, medical treatment, or any other activity incidental to the trip. Now, when I traveled through Washington, D.C. the first time back in I guess it was the second or third time I'd been there, but it was when I shot in the Nationals in Bradford, Pennsylvania in 92, I believe it was, 91 or 92, that I had to travel through, I didn't have to, but travel through D.C. One time I went around it. I went around D.C. when I found out what the laws were because I was afraid. At that time, you could not stop for fuel. You could travel through D.C. as long as you were traveling through D.C. If you stopped for any reason, if you had a flat, you'd be breaking the law. And that's why they're rewording this law, making it a little more, you know, clarify it a little bit. But I got to ask, does this, while federal law does this, says this, does it interfere with states' rights? Now, just because the feds say it's okay, does that mean that the law, the state, cannot make a law otherwise? If federal law is worded in such a way that states cannot supersede it, I guess, is that trampling on states' rights? That's a serious thing there to think about. Northwest Heavy has got a point there. The body armor ban, that's got to go. Hopper, you know, the pellet gun has no flash, but it also is not very quiet. There's not really a good quiet pellet gun out there unless you have a good quiet pellet gun suppressor attached to it. Matter of fact, there's a lot of pellet guns out there that are louder than some 22s. So it kind of, no, you can't see it, but you can damn sure hear it. Let me go down through here real quick and see what all is going on in the chat room here. When I'm looking at all these stories, I miss quite a bit of this. But all right. Let me get back over here. Where was that? I'm trying to figure out the several different legislation, gun legislation that's come up. After the break, which we're fixing to go to here, we've got a number of things happening in Arizona that I want to talk about that I've been looking at here lately. So after this, I've got to move a couple of things around here so that we can... there we go.
I'll be back.
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
Why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis? Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Well, why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying...
Yes.
Let's talk about...
Fine. Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it any time he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so damn always?
Hey.
And with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only three categories: number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period generation period ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
You have a weapon?
Yeah, a big one. How about you?
You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out.
Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
All right, we're back here. I got some, hang on a minute, we may have some breaking news here. Let me check and see what's coming in here. Oh no, that can wait. All right. There's a lot of things being introduced in Arizona this year. A lot of specifically gun legislation, some good, some bad, some irrelevant. But that is, I believe they said there was 29 different bills. Some of them haven't even been voted on. They'll pass away into the annals of history without ever being noticed by most people. But some of them are going to be noticed. I don't think they'll pass, considering this is Arizona. We can probably thank Washington State, for helping us get the word out on one of these bills. It's HB 2118, which would criminalize the private transfer of firearms, requiring all private transfers to go through an FFL. This is very much like the one in Washington. It's not worded quite so stupidly, but it's just as stupid nevertheless. It had some exceptions there, military and law enforcement, of course. Those that loan a gun for target practice at a shooting range, provided it stays on the premises of the range. You cannot loan the gun to somebody to go to the range. You can be at the range and loan it to somebody, and they have to stay there. When they get bad done, they give it back to you. It does not leave the building. Security guards using company-owned guns are exempt. And those that are loaned a firearm by the owner for hunting, as long as the owner goes hunting with him. Hey, that's a great idea. Yeah, sure, I'll loan you my 30-30, but you got to take me up there with you and show your favorite deer spot. That's it. All bets are off. It's that or nothing, Spud. Either that, go buy your own damn 30-30. That's the way it's going to be. Violations, should this take effect, will be considered Class 5 felonies. And under state law, that would mean anything from between 6 months and 2.5 years in jail. So the reason I say that I can thank Washington, I think for all the stuff that went on up in Washington, I'm hoping that it... Hotshot, don't hold your breath, buddy. I'm hoping that enough word got out of what was going on in Washington, enough in the news and Facebook and everything, that the people of Arizona won't fall for. I don't think Bloomberg and them are going to be able to put enough money in this time to keep word from getting out. Arizona is a little different than Washington. In Washington, you know, there's a lot of good, as I found out, very good, hardcore, liberty-minded patriots up there. It was awesome experience to go up there with those people. But there's also a hell of a lot of liberals up there. Seattle being a big stronghold for liberals. Difference here in Arizona is our liberals are very, very spotty. There's a few everywhere, just like pretty much anywhere else. But over in Sedona and Tucson are probably the two biggest. Sedona's not really a very big town at all, but it is virtually all liberals. Big liberal stronghold down in Tucson. And of course there's a handful here and there, no matter where, even here in Sholo, there's some everywhere. But, I don't think there's enough to allow this to even remotely see the light of day. I just don't think it's going to go anywhere. Not here. In a constitutional carry state, I really don't believe that this is going to go anywhere. However, there's one little problem with this that I see. And we have seen this ever since 1934. And that is the fact that a lot of people in Arizona believe the way I do, and they're not going to get up and do anything about it because they don't think it's going to pass. And that, my friends, all by itself, could possibly allow this to pass. We've got to find out if there's enough people in this state that will do what they did in Washington State on December 13th, last year, a month ago. If there's enough people here that will see the dangers of this and are willing to abandon their jobs, whatever, take time off, travel, do whatever to stop this, we'll also see how many people we can get from other states that will help support this as they did in Washington. So we'll see here. Let's see. Somebody just put up a... satire at its finest there. I wouldn't pay any, get too excited. That'd be nice if that was true. Well, I'd be all over that. That'd be great. But... Sedona is Sedona's kind of a weird little town. It's a pretty town. If you just stay away from the people and don't go down there when there's some big, cabbage festival or whatever in the hell it is they do over there. It's a really, really pretty place, especially in the fall. Great, great place. Good food over there. It's a neat place to be, but it is full of liberals. You want to go, in the off season there. But I'm wondering if there's so many people. I feel like that's what's happened all over the country. I wrote a letter to the editor up in Wyoming one time when there was some stuff going on up there, And I said then, even way back then, that was 90, 95, I think it was. I believe it was 95, late 94, I don't remember. And I said the same thing. I said the liberals, I didn't say liberals, I said the anti-gunners, the opposition, they will put their money where their mouth is. They will take the time, of course. They always says, well, we can't do that because we're working. Well, yeah, I know, and I get the essence of what you're trying to say there is that they don't work and we do. Okay, I get that, but I don't care. We're gonna have to, and we're gonna have to take some time off of work, sick day, a vacation day, call in, don't show up, whatever. This stuff is gonna be more important. Now, luckily, the thing in Washington was on a Saturday. You know, that helped the people that was local there. It didn't do a damn thing for us that drove 1,500 miles to go up there and participate in this. We would have had to miss work no matter what. I see that Gauntlet is in the room now, and I wonder, Gauntlet 40, what do you mean it took a little poking around to find us? You got to be kidding me. As much as we put that on the old chat room and put it in Facebook and on the podcast and everything, what that tells me, you're not listening to our podcast. So we're going to have to fix that. Anyway, we're glad you made it in. It's been a while since we've seen you. So, anyway, I'm just hoping that the apathy or the confidence or the arrogance of Arizona gun owners doesn't allow this to pass. Now, I'm not trying to say that all gun owners in Arizona are arrogant. I don't mean to say that at all. But I use that as you know, we have such good gun laws and everything here. People say, well, Guns and Ammo said we're the greatest in the state. I ain't going to worry about that. That's stupid. It's not going to go anywhere. And you're going to set on your not go anywhere ass, and it's going to go right on through there while you were not paying attention. So I would strongly suggest that we all get together if this has any hope whatsoever. I say right now, before it ever catches on, I would say that you need to get on your Facebook pages, get on your newspapers, letters to the editor, on your local radio stations, and some rallies out there, some, you know, in different areas around the state, and make sure that the general public understands what is about to happen here if they just sit around and let it happen. The Gauntlet, I guess that's okay. If you've been beating up little kids, that's a legitimate excuse, so that's justifiable. Okay, another one, the partner bill for this is HCR 2009. And what that is, it's the exact same wording, but it allows people to, it'll be a resolution. It'll allow send the question up to voters in the form of an initiative, not a resolution, a ballot initiative, which is how 594 got through. So there you go. Then there's another one, HB 2371, introduced by the same anal orifice, that would restrict the use of any fully automatic weapon by anybody under the age of 14. Okay, and you might say, well, that's kind of reasonable. You know what? It's a 14-year-old kid. Anybody under 14 don't need to be shooting fully automatics anyway. But it's not reasonable. What prompted this legislation here? Obviously, was the 9-year-old girl that killed the instructor with the Uzi over north of Kingman. Last year. And tragic as it was, And I hate to say this, and I don't mean anything by it other than, other than what it is. It was the instructor's fault. He gave her too much freedom and not enough instruction there. And I hate it that it happened. I hate it for him. I hate it for his family. And I hate it for that little girl worse than any of them. But it doesn't have anything to do, a 14-year-old or a 20-year-old could have done the same thing with not enough instruction and too much leeway there. So the Hopper, it doesn't matter if you're an Arizonan or not. I'm not a Washingtonian either, but I went up there and supported them on their deal. So this is a national thing. If they get this through, the states are going to start falling one by one if we don't stop it. I think that we are going to be successful in reversing Washington's law. I'm very hopeful and very optimistic that that's going to happen. And we cannot let that take hold and run away here. We got to stop it. And for those of you that just flat can't possibly do it because of physical problems or a car that won't run or money or whatever the case may be, maybe you could help support some of those that are doing it. And a little bit of gas or motel money or something to help with their travels would be a good way for everyone to pitch in and show their support for these types of activities. So other things that's going on in Arizona right now is, let's see, HB 2320. This is one that doesn't have any, it's got a few sponsors, but it doesn't have any sponsors yet. This has to do with permit holders in public places and stuff like that. Background checks for felons and release conditions, SB 1269, SB 1275, convicted felons and attempted weapon possession by convicted felons. State preemption, what they're doing with that one, with SB 1291, the state preemption law. We already have a preemption law, but it's, let's see, how did they word that? It's the exemption law prevents a municipality or county from creating legislation concerning the carry and possession of a weapon, but it does not prevent them from making laws concerning the transfer of weapons, of firearms. So that could be a good thing. It will be a good thing if it passes. And by the way, this House bill, this HB 2118, that would prohibit private gun sales, with the few exceptions, it would require that most transfers go through an FFL that would conduct a background check for which they would be allowed to collect a $20 fee. So there are people, there are dealers out there that collect, we always charge a $25 fee. Ever since I've been in business, I've charged a $25 fee. And it's pretty standard, $20, not uncommon at all. A few of them as low as 10, and those are the ones that operate out of their garage, they don't have nothing else to do. But I'll tell you the truth, there's at least one dealer right here in Arizona that charges $100. For a transfer. Now that's not all transfers, but and I'll tell you who it is too. It's Ruff's Guns over in Flagstaff. Now I don't know if they still do. I don't know if it's owned by the same people. But I don't mind telling you, because I think it's chicken poop, and there is no excuse for it. We had done several transfers. We sent quite a few guns over to them from Farmington. For people that mainly off of the Navajo reservation, that they'd buy the gun at our store, and we'd have to send it over there somewhere in that area, and they'd have to go over there and pick it up and do a transfer. So we had sent several already to this place, and we always called ahead because, you know, obviously, number one, you want to find out if they would do it and all of that. So after we'd done that two or three times, I said, okay, yeah, we can just send it to Ruff's Guns. We've sent them over before. It's not a big deal. So then we find out that he charged our customer $100 as a transfer because he didn't know it was coming. We didn't get his permission to send it over there. So that was the last time we sent anybody else. After that, we started sending them to a place called the Pistol Parlor over in Flagstaff. And if I do any more business in Flagstaff, it will be at the Pistol Parlor. As a matter of fact, there's a pretty famous guy that runs the Pistol Parlor, or did, and I can't think of his name right now. He's a I'll have to look it up. Let me see if I can find that real quick for you, because it'll be of interest to some of you that are into this. You'll recognize the name here. I'm having a senior moment, I guess, and can't think of what the guy's name is. It's Chad something, I believe. But if my internet was a little quicker, I would, let's see. It looks like they have moved. I'll be damned. Looks like they've closed down and moved to Mesa, Arizona. I don't know if they still have a store in Flagstaff or not. I'll be darned. How about that? Well, I'll have to look into that. Anyway, I'm sure you guys can do a little bit of research for yourself and find out what the guy's name was or used to be. He's a not only is he a I don't remember if he was a SAS shooter or just a, you know, a speed shooter like Ed McGivern or somebody. It looks like they have really grown here. Try one more thing and see if that gets us anywhere. Come on. Nope. One in Flagstaff. Oh, Gary Reeder. There you go. That's who it is. Gary Reeder was the name. Anybody that's been... Gary Reeder Custom Guns is what it is. I think they used to operate out of the Pistol Parlor, out of Flagstaff. There's still some listings here for it, so I'll have to do a little research and find out if they're still, if he's still associated with them, or if they do, in fact, still have a store in Flagstaff. But anyway. Okay, I have no problem with transfer fees. I think I don't think there's a bit of problem at all with the $20 or $25 transfer fee. Well, people say, oh, all you have to do is do this and that. Well, it takes time when there's other people around there. So every minute that I spend dicking around with your 4473, trying to get it passed and having to call in and tie up phone lines and do everything else, I don't think it's unreasonable at all to ask for a $20 or $25 fee for your convenience. You're the one that wants the gun, not me. So, but $100? No. No, $10 is, I think, is a little on the light side. Once in a while, I'd do it for $10. I did free transfers for, you know, for some of the people that come in and spend a lot of money and bought a lot of guns and friends and stuff. Once in a while, you know, we do free ones for people. But on the average, it was $25. Okay. Well, coming up here, we've got day after tomorrow, we'll have our very first concealed carry class in our brand new little classroom here. And I say little classroom, I'm not kidding. With a little bit of ingenuity here, we can seat 10 people in here. And I could make it bigger if I took the workshop part of it out of the back. But I think it'll be okay. We can do six people real comfortably. And that was the whole reason for putting it in here, is just for incidental classes, for convenience, for local people who are not going to ever have any big classes here. So that's going to work out just right for us. And anytime we want to have meetings or just get in, you know, get out of the house and get away from the kids and the TV and everything else, and you know, have a visit with somebody or something. And we could use it, you know, we could throw a three or four cots in here and have a you know, have people come over for stuff in the summertime or whatever. But it'd be a neat deal. It'd be a lot of fun. Okay, well, I'm beginning to babble, so I guess it's about time we start easing towards the door here. The next thing we've got going after this concealed carry class, the next thing will be a reloading class on the 14th of February. 27th and 28th of February, we'll put back in Vernon again with a battlefield medic class. Great class. This will be the third one we've done here locally. And it's been exceptionally well received. And Edge of the Woods puts that class on for us. It's gone really, really well. And we're doing it on a Friday and Saturday this time because of the people wanted to go to the last couple that we had, but they were not willing to sacrifice their church time for doing this. And I can't blame them for that. You know, that's there's nothing wrong with that. Although, you know, it's I think there is a little bit of leeway, and I think there is some forgiveness for things that are pretend. Now, for recreational shooting, competition shooting stuff, I don't think so. I think if you're looking at it from the standpoint of what the Lord would think of you, then I think that for something that is a potentially life-saving skill that you're learning, I think there's leeway there, and I don't think it's a problem. But to go out and play and shoot recreationally and stuff, I don't think the leeway exists there. I think that'll be something you'll just have to decide for yourself if you think it's okay or not. All right, with that little sermon out of the way, I think what we'll do is ease on out of here now. We'll see you tomorrow night for Liberty Lounge. 2 hours of classic country. We always have a lot of fun with that. And Iowa Cat, Rights at Risk, will be up for the trivia stuff here again. So they're always trying to catch me on a name or something. I hold my own pretty well with them most of the time. All right, I'm out of here. We'll see you all tomorrow night. And Amy will be here also regular time tomorrow night. So, good night.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join COPE Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.